Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come once again repenting of every sin that I've committed knowingly or unknowingly, was it my thoughts, my words, my actions, or my deeds. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, to forgive me, creating me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit. I'm asking you, Father, to take me out of the flesh and allow your Holy Spirit to rise up in me. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, into this service on today. I ask that not my will, but thy will be done. I'm asking that, Father, you would just begin to move in the midst of your people that's online and those that's going to come online today, Lord. We just pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, that you begin to speak your word, oh God. Father God, some need direction. Some need clarification on some things, Lord God. Ooh, thank you. Papa, some need a healing, Lord God, whether it's physically, spiritually, Lord God, or mentally, Lord God. We just praise you in some emotional, Lord God. We just praise you in advance. And I ask that, Lord God, let no one leave off this service today the same way they entered in. But, Lord God, let them be changed by your word and by your spirit, which brings new life. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you even now in the name of Jesus. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you. We praise you, Lord.
Hey.
We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm just going to sing a little of this and then I'm going to go into the word because this song is in my spirit. Hallelujah. 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 You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, you're holy. Lord, you're holy. Lord, you're holy. Lord, you're holy. You're a faithful God. You're a faithful God. Tu sandala la voce, You're a faithful God.
Solo non si tiendo.
You're a faithful God. Sunday and not a bullshit. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you're faithful. Lord, you're holy. You're righteous. And you're true. We praise you, Lord, our King. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just praise him right where you are. Hallelujah, Lord. You are holy. You are holy. You're righteous and you're true. Hallelujah. 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 You're righteous and you're true. Come on and bless him, hallelujah. Come on and bless the Lord. Come on and bless the Lord, my soul. And all that is within me. I will bless his holy name. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're faithful, hallelujah. You're faithful, hallelujah. God is faithful, hallelujah. He's faithful. Come on and praise him, hallelujah. He's faithful, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just come before you once again in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come once again repenting of every sin that I've committed, knowingly or unknowingly. What's in my thoughts, my words, my actions, or my deeds. I'm asking you to forgive me, create in me a clean heart, and renew in me a right spirit. I'm asking you, Lord, to take me out of the flesh and allow your Holy Spirit to rise up in me. Now, Father, we thank you right now for being in the midst of us on today, Lord God. Lord, we ask that, Father, you would just begin to give us a word, Lord God. Father, I pray for a rhema word for your people on today, Lord God. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus because you said you sent your word to heal us, Lord. So, Father, I'm asking even now by the Spirit of living God that you would send your word today, Father. And I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, that you would not allow me to speak what I want to speak. But, Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to allow me only to speak what you want me to speak. Father, give your people ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say unto the church. And give your people eyes to see, Lord. Lord, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we bind the spirit of deception, Lord God, that's running rampant in this land, Lord God. We ask in the name of Jesus that those, Lord God, that's here on today, Lord God, that they will be able to see past deception, Lord. That they will see you, Lord God, and that they will know you, Lord God, and that they will be known of you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray and I ask that all. Amen. I know on last week, God had me talking about, you know, how we know, you know, like if we're hearing from God, our hearing, for our hearing to, you know, to know is of the Lord. So when I was speaking last week, the Holy Spirit, you know, I kept wondering, was he going to have me to say anything, you know, to bring other parts out about what he had me to talk about on last week. And he wanted me to talk today about knowing that you're hearing from God through God's character. Okay, so I want to give you some information right quick before I get into the footage. I want to talk about the character of God. The character of God is described by various attributes that reflect his moral perfection and his love for his creation. Some of these attributes are loving, compassionate, gracious, kind, merciful, faithful, holy, good, just, impartial, infinite, and patient. God's love is the most central and defining aspect of his character, and he expresses it by giving his son Jesus Christ to die for us, to offer us eternal life and forgiveness. God's character is also the model and the source of our transformation as we follow Jesus and become more like him through the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I wanted to talk about his character, some things about his character, you know, which, like, you know, the definition that I just gave, you know, is talking about his, you know, being his attributes. And so we see a lot in, you know, in this hour. There's going to, you know, one of the things about it, there's a great deception in this hour. There's going to be a lot of things that's going to fall out, you know, that's already, you know, on the earth right now, and that's going to continue to come across the earth. And a lot of people who say that they're believers are going to be deceived because of the fact that they do not know God. They don't know God's attributes. They don't know God's character. So when they feel like they're hearing something, they're like, well, what is, you know, this sound like the Lord or whatever. No, you need to know God. You need to know God's character, his attributes. And you know that through the study of the scriptures. And as you study the scriptures and you have a prayer life with the Father, which you have communication. And in your prayer life, it shouldn't be you just saying words to him and then going on about your business. Your prayer life should consist of not just you talking, but you allowing God to respond to what you're saying. And so, when we see these things in this hour season, that, you know, this is one of the reasons why there is a great falling away, why there's a great deception, why people get involved in a lot of things. Get involved in a lot of things that's not God. And it's because of not knowing his character, which is, you know, his attributes. 1 John 4:8 says, let's go there. Give me one sec, because I'm going to be doing a lot of flipping back and forth. Oh, Lord, hold on, y'all. First John chapter 4. And let's go to verse 8. It says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And if you go before, if you go up to verse 6, it says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth he who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Okay, so this is the thing. When we was talking about last week about hearing and knowing if we're hearing correctly from God, God is love. And see, a lot of people, when they think about love, their mind goes in a lot of different places, but love has no ill will. There's no ill will in love. There's no jealousy in love. Matter of fact, the scriptures say, let me find that scripture where it talks about, let me go there right quick, because the Holy Spirit just told me to go there. Oh, wait a minute. I was finna put the wrong thing in. I forgot it's saying it used the other word in that version. It's important for us to know, I gotta be up being a God. Sometimes when you're on the computer and you're looking up this stuff, it don't pop up as fast as you want it. Okay. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I want to do that in the basic English. Lord have mercy. It says, love is never tired of waiting. Love is kind. Love has no envy. Love has no high opinion of itself. Love has no pride. Love's ways are ever fair. It takes no thought for itself. It is not quickly made angry. It takes no account of evil. It takes no pleasure in wrongdoing, but has joy in what is true. Love has the power of undoing all things, having faith in all things, hoping all things. Though the prophet's word may come to an end, tongues come to nothing, and knowledge have no more value, love has no end. So, one of the greatest characteristics of God is love. And so, you know, when he talk about have no account of evil and all that, you know, when he forgives us, he separates our sins from him as far as the east is from the west, never to remember it anymore. That's his love, the attribute of his love, that part of his character of love is able to do that. And he long suffers with us so that none of us will be lost, you know. And so, you know, but it's our choices, it's the choices we make. And so
Love is kind. You know, that's why you're so quick when you people say, I love you. You know, you can tell somebody, if somebody really loves you, they're not going to have a high opinion of themselves. They have no pride when it comes to things concerning you. And they're fair. And they have no thought of themselves, of itself. In other words, they're not a selfish, self-centered person when they say they love you. Because love in and of itself is selfish, is selflessness. I mean, unselfishness. It's you being selfless. You're giving of yourself. And so it's not quickly made angry. It takes no account of evil. You know how it is. And see, you know, and you see this a whole lot in, you know, in relationships. Something happens and somebody goes back to something that happened 2-3 years ago. To bring back into the argument of the now. But you know, and you're a person wouldn't intentionally do wrong to someone if they say they love them. It just, I mean, that's just, you know, part of it. But so we saying knowing how we hearing God through his attributes. So we know that God loves us, right? We know that God is gonna He's drawing us through his love. So we got to know his love when we're talking about hearing him. And because the scripture says perfect love casts out all fear. So, you know, by knowing of God, we know. In our hearing, we know it's God through whether we can sense his love. In James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good. Hold on, let me. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits and of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity or naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I'm going to do that in the basic English because I believe it needs to be done in the basic English. It says, every good and true thing is given to us from heaven, coming from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change or any shadow made by turning. One of the attributes of God is that he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's the reason why when people say certain things that's against what God says he is, you know it's not God. Because he don't change. Okay. He said, every good and true thing is given to us from heaven, coming from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change or any shadow made by turning. No change or any shade made by turning. I'm sorry. Of his purpose he gave us being by his true word, so that we might be, in a sense, the first fruits of all the things which he had made. You have knowledge of this, dear brothers, but let every man be quick in hearing, slow in words, slow to get angry, for the righteousness of God does not come about by the wrath of man. For this reason, putting away all dirty behavior and the overweight of evil, take into your souls without pride the word which being planted there is able to give you salvation. But be doers of the word and not only hearers of it, blinding yourselves with false ideas. And I mean, this is real talk. because this is what goes on in church. You know, this is not what I'm supposed to be preaching about today, but I'm saying, but you know, people, they take in the word to say, oh, I know this, I know that. And they don't allow the word. They're not a doer of the word. Because even the things I said about love, how there's no envy, you know what I'm saying? There's no selfishness, there's no counter on, there's no evil doing towards this, towards people do this stuff, but say, I know God. I'm like, really? Because if you know God and you know God's character, you know how God does things. Okay, so, y'all, hold on. I lost my place again. Give me a second. Let's go to Hebrews. Let's do chapter 13. And I'm gonna start at verse 6. Well, let me start at verse 5. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forevermore. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Let me go into the basic English. I started to pull it up a while ago. Starting back at verse 5, it says, be free from the love of money and pleased with the things which you have. For he himself has said, I will be with you at all times. So that we say with a good heart, the Lord is my helper. I will have no fear. What is man able to do to me? Keep in mind those who were over you and who gave you the word of God, seeing the outcome of their way of life. Let your faith be like theirs. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be turned away by different strange teachings, because it is good for your hearts to be established. It is good for your hearts to be, because it's good for your hearts to be made strong by grace and not by meats, which were of no profit to those who took so much trouble over them. So if you remember in the King James, said, let your conversation be without covetousness. And so, you know, when you started over in the basis of be free from the love of money. And so, you know, a lot of people are coveted, you know, based upon what they usually coveted, something that's got to do with money and all this kind of stuff. And he, you know, and the Bible tells us to be content. You know, he's telling us to be content. So but the attribute of God is in verse 8, where he says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And that's what I was telling you earlier. God does not change. And so when you're looking at stuff, you should always know that the character, you know, people are quick to say, oh, well, this is this day and this is that day. I'm like, they don't care nothing about the day. God's character is timeless. He's timeless. Did I? Yeah, I think I did it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm gonna look at verse. I'm gonna start at verse 11. It says, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." Okay, let me go to the other translation. "Now these things are done as an example, and were put down in writing for our teaching, on whom the last days have come. So let him who seemed to himself to be safe go in fear of a fall. You have been put to no test, but such as is common to man. And God is true, who will not let any test come on you which you are not able to undergo, but he will make with the test a way out of it so that you may be able to go through it." Okay, so the attribute in this is that he's talking about that God is faithful. And in the basic English, it says he's true. So if I know that God is faithful, I know that God is true. When I feel like I'm hearing something from the Lord, first of all, God is faithful to bring it to pass. He's true, so he's no lie in him. And you his word is gonna come to pass. It's gonna stand. God's word is always gonna be true. So when you all these things you put into place, when you're saying, "I know that I'm hearing from God through his character and his attributes," how, you know, do these things line up with that? And so let's go on to the let's do I think that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hold on, let me see. Let me make sure that's right. Yes, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to go down to verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. It says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." So, you know, this is what you need to understand. First of all, when he's telling them to awake to righteousness here and sin not, he's letting them know, you know, if you read in this chapter that, you know, a lot of people don't have the knowledge of God, which is what I'm talking about, the knowledge of his character, the knowledge of his attributes. And that's the way that we discern if what we're hearing is of God or whether it's not. And the scripture says to try every spirit to see if it's of God. And I discussed that last week about trying other spirits. It says, I'm going to look in the King James. It says, "Do not be tricked by false words. Evil company does damage to good behavior. Be awake to righteousness and keep yourselves from sin. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to put you to shame." And I mean, it's true, because in their culture, they really believe that if you sat down at the table and broke bread, you had all things in common. So if you have something in common with someone and you cause this, there's like a knitting together of your souls, you'll find yourself doing the things they're doing. That's the reason why you have to really watch you know, who you're around. That's why the scripture says that, you know, light don't have anything to do with darkness. And, you know, he was talking about the children of light having things to do with darkness. What? The people of the world. Because you will be deceived. You will begin to think certain things, do certain things not right. And you know, there's been plenty of situations where people have been in relationships with folks, and prior to being in a relationship, they believed one way, and after being in the relationship, then they changed what they believed. Why? Because there was a tying of the souls. They begin to have a stuff in common. They begin to be a transition of one, and who's the stronger is going to be the one that moves. As a matter of fact, it's going to be the one that's going to cause the other one to move forward. You have to be really, really, really careful of that. So if I say that I want to live godly and I want to know God, then I got to be around God. How can I know him if I'm not around him? How can I know him if I'm not around him? You know, and being around him is, you know, we're talking about his word, being in a long time with him. We're talking about meditation on his word. We're talking about intimacy with the Lord, you know, so that I can get to know him. Because when I think I'm hearing something that I think God is saying, because the enemy is an imitator. You know, the scripture talks about that he appears as an angel of light. So if he appears as an angel of light, how do you know that it's him versus God? It's through God's character. Because no matter how slick and sly that the devil thinks he is, he does not have the character of God. And if you listen closely, you would always be something that gives it away that is of the enemy. I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And then I think I'm going to switch gears. I want to go, like I said, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Give me 1 second. I need to check something. Whew. Lord have mercy. 1 Samuel chapter 16 is where we're going. Okay, we in 1 chapter 16. Look at verse 6. It says, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eli and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said, the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or not the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For Lord see it not as man see it. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. In the basic English, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not take note of his face or how tall he is, because I will not have him. For the Lord's view is not man's. Man takes note of the outer form, but the Lord sees the heart. And this right here is, you know, when the Lord first had me talking about the deceptions and all these type of things, this is one of the real things about it, because, you know, Jesus, you know, he said he reproves not after the hearing of his ears or the seeing of his eyes, but it's through the heart. And right here in Samuel, you see it, you know, the Lord had the you know, the Lord had to tell the prophet because he was getting ready to err because of what he saw on the outside. And this is what's wrong with the church right now. People so busy looking on the outside on stuff and saying, because it sound this way or it sound that way and this and that, you know, and it's not, we're supposed to judge it by the character of God. We're supposed to judge it by what God is saying to us. And that's why our discernment needs to be sharp. Because when you know the Lord himself will begin to speak to you about what's in people's hearts. You know, about whether this is of him or what is not. And I'm going to tell you, that in itself have saved me a lot of troubles in my life. A whole lot. Because one thing about it is God will read people's lunch to you. If you seeking his face. And so, I think I'm almost through with this part. Hold on, let me, because I want to make sure I want to hit the things I want to hit. Now, one attribute, the other two more attributes of God is that he's invisible and he's immortal. And you can look at that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. I'm not going to read it. Okay, I want to go to this one, though, because this is one of the ones I was kind of referencing to a while ago. Yeah, I keep missing my... Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm looking at verse 9. I'm going to go on and pull up the basic English too, just in case I need to read it. It says in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this is what I was talking about earlier in the sermon. And so in the basic end, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his word, as he seems to some. But he is waiting in mercy for you, not desiring destruction of any, but that all may be turned from their evil ways. This is one of the ways you know if you're hearing from God on something. Because you know God is God's character is that he wants to see us come to repentance. When something is presented where the enemy trying to make you sound like he's saying something to you, if it's not leading you in the line of seeing things from God's direction or repentance or whatever, it's not God. I remember a long time ago, and it's probably one of the reasons why God had me bringing out this part about his attributes in conjunction with what I was hearing. Y'all remember last week when I was teaching on this stuff, I told you about an incident where I was in ministers training class, and my pastor called me out and asked me a question and asked me what discernment meant. Now, I hadn't privately studied that prior to this, and so, but because he asked me to, the Holy Spirit began to give me the definition of it. I had never studied before. When I got through giving the definition of it, he told me I was wrong. You know, in front of everybody, he was like, "You wrong. That's not nowhere near what it is." And he started teaching. Well, you know, I didn't know. You know, I was like, "Well, shoot, I don't know anyway." I'm like, "But Lord, I thought I heard you." When I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit told me, he said, "When you get home, look up discernment in your biblical dictionary." So when I got home, I looked up discernment in my biblical dictionary, and everything that I had said in that class was exactly what was in that book. And I had never studied it. And the Holy Spirit said, he said, "Now, I don't want you to say nothing." He said, it wasn't my job to say anything to him, to try to correct him. The Lord told me, you know, go about my business. I was like, "Well, all right, Lord, you know, it, you know, God, you know, I wasn't angry about it. I wasn't upset or nothing like that." Why? Okay, so what that got to do with leading to repentance. Because if I had any pride issues, I had any flesh issues, God was leading me in the path of salvation. And the path to salvation, you don't care if you right. It's not about about the way you look and nothing like that. Because I could have been like, well, he made me look a certain kind of way in front of these folks. Well, who am I? I'm a nobody. God leads you in a place of salvation. And he was also a learning thing for me to be obedient. You understand what I'm saying? And to know another thing was for me to study the word for myself. And so you need to know the Lord. And you need to know that God is very long-suffering. Part of his character is long-suffering to lead us to the place of repentance, to salvation. There's a lot of, and so my pastor years ago, he preached something. He said, the gift will open the door for you. He said, but what will keep you there is the character of God. And that is so true. Because you can be gifted all day long. And I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, and I've been a pastor, it'll be 20 years this year, I can't stand a minister that I can see that's high and lifted up. They are somebody that I'd be like, nah, I don't want to have anything doing it. Somebody I can see that has a problem with admitting that they're wrong, that has a problem with apologizing, a problem with that. Those are people that I tend to be like, no, I can't use you, because then I know there's a spirit attached to you. And somebody who's so concerned about their image. And I'm like, what image do you have? That you're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ. So who cares about your image? Even when I meet people like that that's caught up in an image thing, it's like, okay, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I back away from that kind of stuff because I know how God is. God wants to have us to be in a certain mindset. And those things don't have anything to do with the character of God. Let me check and see if I hit on. I keep pausing because I'm having to deal with some stuff that's happening at the same time I'm preaching. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. That's actually where I probably should have started, but you know, he didn't lead me to start there. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, and when we drop down to verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now let me do that in the basic English, because you know we're talking about the characteristics of God, because the fruit of the Spirit is the attributes of God that he places inside of you when you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, a quiet mind, and that's the thing, everybody ain't quiet in their mind, folk got all kinds, kind acts, well-doing, faith, gentle behavior, control over desires. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have put to death on the cross the flesh with its passions and its evil desires. If we are living by the Spirit, let us be guided. Let us not be full of self-glory. It's a lot of people that want self-glory, making one another angry, having envy of one another. So, you know, if I'm thinking I'm hearing something from the Lord, if none of these things is not lining up, then it's not God. Let me see. Okay. Some more attributes of God is that if you look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, God is not faint and he don't grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And so that's nothing when God is speaking to you about something, he don't grow faint about something. We might grow faint on some stuff, but God don't. In Isaiah chapter 6, if you look at chapter 6, verse 3, it talks about the holiness of God. That's one of his attributes, because he's holy. He wants us to be holy. So when God, you feel like God is hearing you speaking, his holiness is going to always be somewhere in the midst of it. In John 17:17, it talks about him being the truth, which I was talking to you all about earlier. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it talks about how the Lord don't change. That's what I talked about earlier. He's not a change. He does not change. He's the same. I want to go to Numbers 23:19, though. I actually physically want to go there and read that one. Numbers 23. In Numbers 23, verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? And this is what I was talking about earlier. God, when he says something, it's good. You're going to see it. You always know when it's not God when you don't see it. I tell people all the time, I'm not trying to be funny. I can write a book full of words that I've been given from other ministers that have not come to pass. A literal book. And those same ministers, God has had me to give them words and I've seen them come to pass. And I'm like, Lord, okay, so what is the deal? I'm like, Lord, either you wasn't talking or, you had to be not talking. And some stuff was given in time frames. It's on me to do it in the parallel. Let me do it in the parallel. Let's go to basic English. It says, God is not a man to say what is false, or the son of man that his purpose may be changed. What he has said, will he not do? And will he not give effect to the words of his mouth? And so, this is why it's important for us to study. When I was in that situation, and the Holy Spirit had given me that definition verbatim, man told me I was wrong. The Lord sent me to go look it up. And I was right. And the Lord didn't have me to open my mouth to say nothing. And he was like, shut up. Don't say nothing. It's not your place to say anything. He was teaching me about order. Because the Bible tells you that you're not supposed to rebuke an elder. He was teaching me about order. He was teaching me about how it's not about being right. It's about knowing that you hear from the Lord. And if you're hearing from God, God is going to honor his word. One thing about it is I have been walking with God all my life just about. I got saved when I was 2 years old. My grandmother gave me the plan of salvation at 2. So my thing is I've been walking with God all my life. And one thing I can tell you, I've had several seasons in my life where God himself came and gave me scripture that I didn't even know, had never looked at or never read, and then took me later on to the scripture that he actually gave me. And so, I tell people all the time, God is going to back up his word. If it's God, he's going to make it come to pass. Everything God has said to me himself, he's made good on what he said. Now, where he talk about where those prophecies that shall fail, I did another teaching a while back where the Lord said there is a difference between prophecies and a word from God. See, you got a sure word from God. And then there is prophecies. Sure words from God don't fail. Because he said that his word is going to come to pass. Whatever he spoke, he said he not a man and he shall lie, nor the son of man and he shall repent. If he spoke, he shall do it. If he said it, he'll perform it. There's been a lot of prophecies that's been prophesied. I never forget one time this man told me, well, God changed his mind. When this man said that, I was like, sir, God ain't changed his mind on nothing. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I was talking about how I had made a decision in a situation that caused the situation to go in a different direction. But it was not God. It was me. See, and that's the problem. People don't want to own up on the mistakes we make and the different things that we want to put everything off on God. But we're not looking at, did I line up with what he said? Did I do anything? You know what I'm saying? To alter some stuff. Okay, so I'm trying to get through, y'all. But the Lord is wanting me to go through some of this stuff. I'm really trying to... Ooh, Lord Jesus, give me strength. What was the last verse I was on? If you look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything, this devil is hot. Are you serious? Hello? I'm back on. I mean, this the enemy is attacking the thing because he don't want nobody here. It cut off for some reason. Okay, so in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, what is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellency, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. This is what God is. So when God is, you feel like God is speaking to you about it, it should line up. It should be true. It should be honorable. It should be just. It should be pure. It should be lovely. It should be commendable. And it should be of excellence. And it should be worthy of praise. If it's not these things, it's not God. Let's look at Proverbs 10:9 right quick. In Proverbs 10:9, it says, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverted his ways shall be known. Let's do that in the basic English. Okay. It said, he whose ways are upright will go safely, but he whose ways are twisted will be made low. And so you saying, okay, well, what did this got to do with the attributes of God? Because when God is speaking, he always brings safety to you in whatever you feel like you're hearing from the Lord. When it's not of God, it brings you low. In Psalm 33:11, it says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. So that's one of God's attributes. His counsel stands forever. You know how people want, I was saying earlier, how people want to put stuff inside, oh, well, that was then and this was then. And God said, no, my counsel stands. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So why is this stuff important? Because if we know the attributes of God, when we're saying we're hearing from the Lord, it will guide us in things. And remember, we have a good example before us, and that's Jesus Christ. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. And so, you know, God gives us godly examples on the earth. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers, of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Titus chapter 2, verse 7 says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptedness, gravity, sincerity. Let me, I want to look at that in the basic English. Hold on. I don't know what it is about this word on today. I know the enemy is not particularly happy with it. I don't know what it is. This has been a real interesting day. He says, in all things showing us. Oh, sorry. I said I was going to do the. I still ended up reading the. In all things, see that you are an example of good works, holy in your teaching, serious in behavior, saying true and right words against which no protest may be made, so that he who is not on our side may be put to shame, unable to say any evil of us. And this is very important, because this, you know, this how you know when it's of God. Anytime Jesus spoke, there was nothing to resist when he spoke. They always end up looking speechless. James chapter 5, verse 10, which is my last verse. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. So, you know, they suffered, you know, in the midst of doing what God was telling them to do. So when the Lord is speaking to you, there's sometimes God will let you know, okay, yeah, I know you're ready for this to end here or do this, but you know, I need you to do this, or I need you to do that. Trust me, I understand. I know. Why do we need to know the character of God? So that when we feel like we're hearing from the Lord, we need to know that first he's the truth. There's no lying to him. And if it's him, he's gonna reveal it. You're going to know it through his word, through his attributes, through his character. All these things that we looked at, God is real serious, because in this hour, a lot of people are claiming that they're hearing things from God that's actually of the enemy. And I'm talking about, if you turn on the internet, you will see it. You know what I'm saying? People have said a lot of stuff. Let me tell y'all something. I'm not trying to be funny. But when the stuff happened with all those prophets, I mean, I really was embarrassed for the prophets. You know, on last year, the year before, what was that? Last year before? Because all of them was banding together saying, this is what the Lord has said to them, that I, and all of them was wrong. It didn't happen. And if it was God that said it, he would have done it, regardless of what's going on. And I've been in situations where I've seen stuff stacked up against me, and God said, no, this is this, and this is going to happen, period. I never forget, I had a minister one time that used to always tell me, well, I haven't been able to do nothing because people been speaking against me doing this and doing that. And I was like, well, shoot, I got people speaking against me, but I'm still doing what God told me to do. You know, either he said it or he didn't say it. Because if he said it, he'll make a way for it. And so you got to understand, that's how we that's how you know, because people can be deceived by themselves. They can be deceived by the enemy. They can be deceived by a person. And so you need to know when it's the Lord. I've looked back over my life in different seasons of my life, even in very painful situations where God was showing me something. And I've had people to tell me, oh, that wasn't what it was. And it actually was exactly what it was. And so, you know, I'm one of those people, I sit back and reflect. I reflect, and that's another thing. When you're seeking the Lord, you need to reflect back on the things that he said to you. You need to reflect back on the things he said through his word and the things that he has spoken. Whether he sent me to say it to you or whatever, you need to, or he said it directly to you. You need to reflect on what God has said. Because God is not a man that he shall lie. He's not a liar. If he said it, he gonna do it. I don't care what it look like. I don't care what it sounds like. That if it's God, it's God. And so we want to just remember that as we continue to seek the face of God and hear, because we're in our world, there's a lot of deception going on. And I'm going to tell you, I can tell you, I'll be real scared. And other people like scared. I'm like, yeah, it's like a holy fear that comes over me. Because the stuff that I see and the stuff that I'm hearing, and I'm like, Lord, I can't believe that it's so easy for it to come out of folks' mouth. It scares me, because I'm like, man, you got no reverence for the Lord. You don't know him. You know what I'm saying? Because to know the Lord, it's just certain things you just don't do. It's just certain things you just don't say or even think. You know what I'm saying? You cast stuff down when you know it's not of the Lord. Because the Lord wants us to grow up in him. Yeah. He wants us to be mature so others can see that God is real. There's people in our lives that God wants to bring to him through you. Through your own self. You know, and so, you know, how can it be if you are a liar? You are not lining up with the character of God. You know what I'm saying? If you are an unfaithful person, God is a faithful person. And he wants his people to be faithful to him.
Yeah.
If you're being unholy, God is a holy God. And he wants you to be holy. You can't be a person that is a jealous hearted, a envious, a covetous of somebody else's stuff, or money, and all this kind of stuff, and say that it's God in you, because that's not the character of God. If God lives in you, then his attributes, his things will line up with you, because, hey, check this out. You can't even be a, let me tell you something. I can't even go in the spirit and prophesy over somebody if I got covetousness or jealousy in my heart.
That's true.
You don't even understand that how I've seen ministers hinder people's lives because of the issues they had in their own self. I've seen it. I mean, God flat out, and that's why we tripping me out. People don't understand it. When you're in the spirit realm, God reveals a whole lot of stuff. And he reveals it to, he don't reveal stuff to just anybody. He reveals stuff to people that he know really loves him, number one, and really love his people. Because when you really love God and you really love God's people, you don't look at people a certain kind of way. Your heart kind of goes out to them.
That's right.
Because you like, man, you know, Lord, you know, they're suffering in this area. And they need you to move in order for them to be delivered. In order for them to be set free. And I just, God wants us to know his character. It's time, you know, if he allow us to get into a deeper study on it, I open it. But I feel like if he have us do a deep study on it, it's going to probably be a Wednesday night thing. But I just want people to know God. I want you to really know the Lord for yourself. I want you to really get comfortable with the character and the attributes of the Lord, because that's going to transform your life. Because when you become to know who God is and you realize God wants you to be like him, then it changes. First off, God is not a petty God. He's not a shallow God. I was talking to Prophets Junior the other day. I said, you know, I said, I really do not, and I'm a person, I'm straight up, do not like liars. It's just not, because it just irritates me, because you can't have no conversation. Because majority of the stuff that come out their mouth be lies. And, you know, I was talking to Prophet Junior about that the other day. And when it was something about, it wasn't just the lies, it was the, like, covetousness and stuff. That stuff right there, because when you see that the Lord is trying to do something, you glorify the Lord. And people be thinking that they're coming against people. You're not coming against people. When you got jealousy and covetousness in your heart, you're coming up against God, because you're coming up against the will of God. And that's a dangerous thing. And then people turn around and say, well, I know the Lord. I'm like, how do you figure you know him? Because I know one thing, the God I serve, he would read my lunch in a second about stuff that's not of him that tries to come up in my life. You know, you can't stop the devil from bringing, bringing it to you, but it's what you do with it when he bring it to you. Is if he finds a place in you to match up with the stuff he's bringing. So you need to make sure you're hearing from the Lord. The Lord is always going to speak in contents of love, of forgiveness, repentance, deliverance. He always shines the light on stuff. You know, when we want to see him for what he is, we got to really learn how to hear from the Lord. Because there is a spirit of error out there. And it's real easy to get off into. It's real easy to get off into. I just want to thank the Lord for you today. I'm going to pray us out of the sermon. And then I'm going to get Prophet Junior, if God had given her anything while we're going forth in the announcement. Then I'm going to come back and pray for the tithes and the offerings. Father, we just thank you for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. I come once again repenting of every sin that I committed knowingly and unknowingly, what's in my thoughts, my words, my actions, and my deeds. I'm asking you to forgive me, creating me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. And Father, bless your people that was online today. Help us to hide your word in our hearts that we will not sin against you, Lord. We honor you for your word, Lord God. Let your word prevail in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then, Father, I just ask you, Lord, that there's so many on here that say, you know, they're confused about whether or not they're hearing from you or not. Father, as they come to you, you said that you would not turn away those who come to you. And so, God, if they come to you as a sincere heart, God, begin to reveal yourself to them. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you have a prayer request, you can pray. You can send your text, your prayer request in to 214-507-3626. Again, that is 214-507-3626. And I'm going to turn it over to Prophet Junior to see if she got announcements or if anything God might have told her. Okay, as you all know, Pastor getting ready to pray over the tithes and the offerings. You go to www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. That's www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. Click on the send a donation button, and that's how you pay your tithes and your offerings. If you are visiting on the line today, as you would if we were in the building and we were passing around the offering plate, to do an offering, go to www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. That's www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. Members, you already know to do an offering. If you would like to give Pastor a love offering, you can text her at 214-507-3626, and she'll forward the information to you to be able to do that. Again, if you have any questions for me, members, do be mindful that Pastor Appreciation will be upon us soon. So go ahead and start paying into your Pastor Appreciation. Again, I've given you all permission to reach out to me if you need to contact me and you need me to be praying for you about anything concerning that. And I thank you all. All right, I'm getting ready to pray for the tithes and the offerings. Father, I just come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I come once again repenting of every sin that I committed knowingly and unknowingly. What's in my thoughts, my words, my actions, and my deeds. I'm asking you to forgive me, creating me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit. Now, Father, as I lift up your people's tithes and their offerings unto you, you know it's the first fruit of their increase, Lord. And Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will rebuke the devourer for your people's sake, that you will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that they will not have room to receive. And Lord, you told us in your word, you told us to prove you. Now here we say the Lord of hosts. And Lord God, I'm asking you, Lord God, we come proving you, Lord. We're proving you at your word, God, to provide for your people, especially in this hour and this season. You see the things that's going on. Lord, and I know that those things that's going on have nothing to do with you, Lord, because you are able to do exceedingly abundant of all we can ask or think according to your power that work within us. No matter what's going on in our country, God, in the financial and economic arena, Lord God, you are able to provide for your people, Lord. And so, Lord, I just thank you in advance, Lord God, for being a buyer for the sake. I thank you for those who's paying their tithes. Oh, God, it's been faithful tithe payers. Lord God, that they will see an increase. Oh, God, that Lord, they will see doors open to them that were shut in their face. Lord God, and I pray for an increase in their finances, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you, hallelujah. We just bless the name of the Lord, Father, and that your work may go forth, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Your will may come to pass in your people's lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you right now, Lord. We thank you for abundance, oh God. Let people get raises on their jobs. Let them get special bonuses, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we just thank you right now for doing a new thing and causing it to spring forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And we just thank you, Lord. Amen. Like I said, if you have a prayer request, you can text your prayer request in to 214-507-3626, and I will be praying. If God leads me to do a deeper study on some things with this, I will let you know. I will send out the word. It would probably be on a Wednesday because, you know, on Wednesdays, you know, straight, you know, Bible study when he has me to do it. So we just thank God for everyone that was able to be with us on today. I speak blessings into your lives in Jesus. And, oh, thank you, Holy Father. Those who seeded into my life that has... You said in your word that those that give in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. God, those that has given love offerings to me, Lord God, or seeds to me, Lord God, however you want to say it, Lord God, I'm asking that, Lord God, that you would let crazy favor be upon their life, Lord God. Yes, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that they would just begin to see things begin to multiply, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you and God keep you. I'm in the car.